And I want to invite you to turn with me to an amazing passage of Scripture that goes hard before it goes easy, all right? It's found in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to begin in the verse numbered 16 today. Jesus is talking. Matthew 11 and 16. Are we good? All right. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And verse 25. At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then here it is. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We have come this morning to the part of the Bible that contains perhaps the most comforting words ever spoken. "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burden," Jesus says, "and I will give you rest." When I walk through a cemetery, they are words that I see etched into tombstones, or they're worked into stained glass windows, or they're stitched into needlepoint and hung in church parlors all over the world. You find them in hospital chapels where people come to pray in the most challenging, confusing moments of their lives. These words are everywhere. "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." It's as good as it gets, that promise. One we turn to when our burdens seem impossible to bear, when our best efforts to cope have failed, when we're on the verge of collapse. Here's a promise that offers hope. The hope that God will lift the sweaty loads off our backs, will replace them with a lighter yoke. Lighter because it yokes us with the one who is greater than we are. The one whose strong help allows us to bear any burden. That's what this message and passage has come to mean to us today. But what we need to understand is that these words meant something quite different to those who heard them back when Jesus first said them. Because when he first spoke this promise, he had just finished preaching to people in a bunch of cities, places where his words fell on deaf ears. Turns out those city folk were smart, sophisticated, been to school, had doctoral degrees, enough to think that they understood and knew the fine points of theological nuance, had enough money to make these big attention-getting offerings at the synagogue. They were blessed in so many ways, but their curse was that they could not grab hold of what Jesus was saying to them. See, Jesus broke their rules. Didn't do things the traditional way. Didn't do things right. And these were people who were obsessed with doing things right. Moses had given them the law, intended to thaw out their hearts, intended to put them in loving relationships with each other, but they had taken that law and had used it to separate themselves from each other. Turned it into this deal where those who followed the rules thought themselves better than those who did not. Those who lived by the rules thought they were closer to God than those who did not. And so they spent enormous amounts of energy obeying the rules, because that's how you stayed on top. It meant that in their hands, God's law became this heavy yoke, this bulky, burdensome thing, one they were nevertheless willing to bear because they wanted to stay on top. Didn't think they had any other choice. It was all they knew about being religious. Well, along comes Jesus. Along comes Jesus, and he starts messing with them. Along comes Jesus offering a lighter yoke, offering an understanding of the law based on the love of God and one's neighbor. Something that summed up all the previous laws, made all those other laws easier to bear, don't you see? It wasn't a new law so much as it was a renewed law. But what happened? Well, we know what happened. They didn't trust him. Those sophisticated urbanites weren't buying it. He made it sound too simple, or he took away their point system. Or just who did he think he was anyway? Rolling into town, changing the way they'd always done things for the last thousands of years. I heard somebody say one time that the seven deadliest words uttered in church or in any organization are, "We've never done it that way before." Jesus comes along, and the religious leaders are outraged. The people indignant. Never done it that way before. So he ends up leaving those cities without having changed a single mind or heart. Meanwhile, not everybody turned a deaf ear to Jesus or a cold heart. No, there was a whole lot more receptiveness out in the country, out among the peasants, the farmers. Apparently they weren't so educated, so sophisticated that they missed his point. Because when Jesus spoke to them about their lives, why, they could tell he really knew them, that he knew what drove them, that he knew what wore them out, that he understood what they wanted from life. He offered them a lighter load, and guess what? They took it. Took him at his word, traded in the hard yoke of living by the rules for the easier yoke that he held out for them, the yoke of living by their relationships, both with God and with each other. It's why Jesus says what he does here. Thanks God for hiding these things from the wise and the intelligent and for revealing them to babies instead. I loved what Pastor Elena said before she prayed about the little ones here at this church. They get it. And if we aren't paying attention to our little ones, we're missing something precious. And Jesus reminds us of these things so that we get the idea that faith in God is not something only smart people or only rich people or only socially acceptable people can have. Jesus does not discriminate. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden," he says, "and I will give you rest." That's an amen moment right there. Do I need to put that on the screen? That's an amen moment right there. Now, when Jesus spoke to people who labored, people who were weary, heavy laden people, he wasn't talking about their bodies. He was talking about their souls. He was talking about people bent over with exhaustion from following all those rules, bent over from keeping up all those religious appearances. "Take it easy," Jesus says. "That's a hard yoke. I got something easier if you'd like." But sadly, they did not like. It's what happens when we decide we have to do more, be better, try harder, prove ourselves worthier than anybody else, lest we not earn God's love. And it is the most tiring work in the world, that work is, because it's never, ever done. I had a friend of mine, my friend Gary, call me this week, called to check up on me. It's what he does every now and again. He just senses that I need a little checking up on. And so he calls me. Somehow we got to remember in a day years ago, we were out golfing. And the way I remember it, hindsight being 20/20, is that he was playing terrible and I was playing terrific. That's what was going on. That's called revisionist history right there. Fake news right there. Well, given that I'd already won the round handily, you know, and as a kind of act of mercy, I suggested that we play the last hole by having the person who finished first be the winner. Kind of speed golf thing. And so we did. We teed off, and then we ran all the way, hitting our balls like hockey pucks, until finally guiding them into the hole. I don't remember who got there first. All I remember is that we fell down onto the green laughing until our stomachs ached. But Gary told me something over the phone. He said the reason he never got good at golf was that it doesn't work to try harder, which is what he's always done when things have gotten difficult in his life. Just try harder. But in golf, that only makes things worse. The harder you try, the worse it gets. The secret being to let the game come to you. And I think about that. I think of learning to trust in God, God's way of leading us, allowing God to share the load with us. It's a little like that. It's letting the game come to you, relinquishing control to the only one who's really got game. I don't know if you've ever traveled to the third world or if you've had to go there on the pages of National Geographic, but you may know that there are two kinds of yokes used to bear burdens in the less developed world, single ones and shared ones. Single yokes are highly efficient. They really are. You can put a yoke across the shoulders of somebody and you can fix buckets on poles on the side. And a person can carry almost as much as a donkey can carry. That's true. Granted, we'll tire easily, and we'll have to sit down and rest a lot, and our shoulders will ache, and our backs will give out, and we'll end up in the chiropractor's office, and we'll have to wear a back brace, and we'll have to load up on Doane's pills. But nevertheless, it is possible to move great loads from one place to another using a single yoke. That can happen. Shared yokes, on the other hand, work different. A shared yoke requires twice as many creatures, for one thing. But if you have a well-matched pair, why, you can work all the day long. Because under a shared yoke, one person can rest while the other person pulls. You can take turns sharing the brunt of the load. You can cover for each other. And you can do so without ever laying your burden down. Because when our yoke is shared, why, we have company all the day long, and when the day is done, both of us might be tired, but neither is exhausted because we're a team. And it is the coolest thing to go through life like that. See, some of us labor under the illusion that our yokes have to be single ones, right? That we have to go it alone, that the only way to please God is to load ourselves down with heavy requirements, with good deeds, with pure thoughts, blameless lives, perfect obedience, all those rules we make and break. It's part of what we celebrated this past week, this nation of rugged individualism where we learn to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, declaring our independence from everybody else. All the while, Jesus is standing right in front of us, half a shared yoke spread across his shoulders, the other half wide open, waiting for us, his yoke requiring nothing more than that we step into it and become part of his team. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Little wonder that those words have weathered the centuries so well, because they assure us that the ones who please God are not the ones able to carry the heaviest loads, but are the ones who are willing to share their loads, willing to share their yokes with the one whose invitation is a standing one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? It is light. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Would you pray with me? God, why is this one so hard for us? When you want it to be easier, when you did the heavy lifting 2,000 plus years ago to make it possible for it to be easier. So forgive us for shunning that invitation, Lord, in whatever ways we do. And I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. If you've been carrying something that you don't need to be carrying, and the Spirit of God has brought that to your awareness today, this altar is open. You can come here and you can kneel here. Pastor Elena said it, you know, for 100 plus years, people have been kneeling at this altar and they've been yielding and relinquishing burdens here. And you're invited to do that. If there's somebody that's in your awareness, somebody near and dear to you, who is caring more than they should, you can come and kneel on their behalf and ask a God whose yoke is easy and who's got a spot for them to be yoked to him. You can come and kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker, and offer intercession for them. I just want to extend that invitation now as we spend a few more moments in the presence of a loving God. There's room at this altar.